Thank you for asking that question. There's a question in my mind. Akhir kyun mujhe? A question. It's a little out of our topic that we discussed, out of that range that we discussed. Anyways, the false ego or ahankar is the very basis of the existence of material creation. If you want to know what sustains material creation, then it is a false ego. Technically, the false ego is what later on produces the modes in interaction with the material energy, the mahat. So where does the false ego come from? That is the avaran or the covering of the soul when the soul enters into the material world. So the interaction of the soul with material energy is through the false ego. And this interaction transforms material energy. Also, there is another element called as time. The Lord's energy is that time. It transforms it into sattva, rajas and tamas. Or goodness, passion and ignorance. And then interacts with each one of them to produce further elements, 24 in all. Alright? So, how does the false ego give rise to the modes? Or did you ask how does the modes give rise to the false ego? You asked how does the false ego give rise to the modes? The modes are there inherent. They are dormant in material energy. They are activated when the false ego interacts. The soul interacts. And time interacts. Alright? Okay. Any other questions? All right. No, he's calling out for someone. Oh, okay, you have a question.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful class. You mentioned about the repetitive habits, you know, we want to do certain things again and again. It happens that, you know, we come to temple again and again and we try to do the repetitive things at the temple. But still, you know, when the sense object comes in front of us, like yesterday only I was there in my office and it was pretty cold, you know, in the office generally they have the AC, you know, like a Switzerland atmosphere. So there was a hot tea out there in the pantry. And, you know, for a second, just for a fraction of a second, you know, I just recollected that taste, you know. In chill, when you are in a chilled atmosphere, that tea, hot tea, you know, it's kind of, immediately I rejected, but for a second, definitely the thought came. So how we can, you know, come to the consciousness, even for a second, that thought should not come.
I was hoping you'd say hot chocolate instead of hot tea. In Switzerland, they have hot chocolate. So we have in a stall there, Gokul tea. So all right. Rup Goswami says that we should try to slowly give up the taste for material objects by dovetailing our desires in Krishna's service. Prabhupada, he said, devotees, you should eat till you cannot walk. Have you ever tried that? You eat that you're not able to walk because it's so intoxicating after some time. So devotees followed that very sincerely. After a few years, he said, I think devotees should eat what is necessary so that they can do service. So devotees became very much agitated. So they came to Prabhupada with the argument, But Prabhupada, you only told us that we should eat till we cannot get up till our neck. So we are sincerely following whatever your instructions are. And now we are being told that you desire that we eat just that is necessary, sufficient. How is that? So Prabhupada gave an answer which is very interesting, complete tangent. He said, when I told you to eat till your neck, you agreed. Now when I tell you to eat sufficient, why you disagree? Alright? So till the time that thoughts are there or there is some remembrance still of tea, we have Gokul tea. But after that, better empty. Alright? Okay. Any other questions or we'll stop? Final question anyone has? Yes, in the back. When you're speaking like that, I feel as if it is Akashvani. You are a demigod, I am Kamsa.
Krishna, why did Krishna give us desires? Like, what was the reason he gave us desires? And why do we then, like, it was given to us by Krishna himself. So why do we need to now get out of it?
Krishna gave us desires, not material desires. Right?
So how does that material desires come up in our minds?
Krishna gave us desires so we can have a nice business exchange with him. His desires he gives to us, our desires we give to him. So there's a nice exchange. It is called as love. Loving exchange. Now suddenly it dawns on us that if Krishna has desires, I have desires, so why dhanda only with one person? And all of us only with one sahukar, why only one sahukar? Right? Now what generally happens in a village where there is one sahukar and someone says, why only one? It generally means, why not me also? So then, I am the person who asks the question and I am the person who wants to become the next businessman there. Right? However, I present it as if it's a question or a requirement for the whole community. Okay? So, when we are having this loving exchange with Krishna, suddenly we feel that what is much difference with him? He may have a million people who are exchanging with him. I can have at least 10, 15, 20. Why not? So let's take a chance. Now that chance results in us having such a big drama here. That is called as material desire. The material desire means trying to take that chance that why only one person, why only have relationship with him? Do you know the nature of certain things? Because the question can come up, and I think I should explain it. The question can come up is, doesn't it mean Krishna is very egocentric? Well, he may be what he may be, that is a different point. We'll leave it to him. We have to know what we are. Have you seen railway engines? Right? If they are facing in a particular direction, that is where they take the, unless until they can also take the, there are some engines that only go ahead, forward, unless until they have the dynamo action reversed. Previously the engines like that, therefore they had to make a circular thing. The engine would go and go around that and then come back on another track to take the carriages in that opposite direction. Previously that was how it was. Why I'm giving you this example is, our creation is from Krishna and therefore we have desires which can be fulfilled by him. Eko bahuna yo vidadhati kaman. So rather than being more concerned as to why he or who he, what we are and what we must do. Because unless until we act according to our nature, we won't be happy. So forget about Krishna being happy or not. That is what we showed that slide. Prahlad says that people think that they know how to be happy, but they do not know how to be happy. Their real happiness is to engage in this relationship with Vishnu, because that is the nature. And somehow or the other, that nature cannot be changed. Right? Although it seems to be a little dark, you know, this we cannot change our nature, that is how we are. The point is, it's very pleasurable. If I'm born the son of a king, do I want to change my nature? Just imagine, if I'm born, in India, who is a king now? I cannot give any example. Supposing I'm born the son of... I cannot even name anyone. There is no one sufficient enough to attract. What is that person's name? Microsoft person? If I'm born his son, what is the problem? Do I want to become not the son of Bill Gates? Why would I want to do that? Do I go back and say, why did you give birth to me? I don't want to be born. Arre baba, itna paisa hai, sab kuch hai kya? When you have so much, you realize that you have so much, then you are satisfied in that. When we forget that we have so much, then we are roaming on the streets like a beggar. Although we are the son of a king, we are roaming the streets like a beggar. So when we say that the soul's inherent nature is to engage in Krishna consciousness, it is not an imprisonment. Tadi paar nahi hai wo, saja nahi hai, kala pani nahi hai wo. It is intense pleasure, because we have so much of the resources available to us. Alright? So we just have to realize that, and those desires that are expressed when we engage all these resources, they give us complete satisfaction. So Krishna wanted us to have desires to be satisfied in his association. Shantim prichhati. You will be peaceful, Krishna says. Bhoktaram jagga tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim prichhati. I mean, Krishna says, I do not have to come here and do a peace rally. I have sufficient engagement, but still I come. Why? So that you can have peace. That's it. So that is Krishna consciousness. Just understanding Krishna and how, if we engage our desires and take desires, his desires, accept what his desires are and offer our desires to him, there is love. Okay? Oh. Alright, you are the judge and the executioner too. So we accept your last question.
Solve it. So,
can I ask you a question before that?
Yeah.
Are you a demigod?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Is it correct to use abusive words between friends when they really do not mean them?
All right. Let me ask you a counter question. Is it good to use words between friends even if they are nice when we do not mean them?
You put me in a fix.
The point is, let us have some substance in ourselves. We should be persons of substance, not shadow. Right? Then whatever we do, we'll have substance. Now your question whether abuse should be there. Abuse is lack of ability to do good. Abuse cannot exist on its own. It's negative. There's no existence of negative. Negativity is there only when positive is not done.
No, usually what happens between friends, when they start speaking, they use such kind of adjectives which we cannot speak in front of others. So that kind of adjectives I'm speaking about, which cannot be, when they are with somebody, when they are with parents and all, they do not speak that. But when they are between friends, they do that. So the reason is because I stay with a group of people who they start with that adjective, they end with that adjective. Okay, now it has so happened during my past 6-7, I do not speak that kind of language. But during past 6-7 months, what has happened to me is that usually when I wanted to you know, when I get angry on somebody, I usually kick my put my palm like this. So my anger just vanishes away. Now, by hearing these words so many times, it has reached my heart. I hope it doesn't reach my mouth. So that's the reason I'm asking. I want to know, I want to have a solution to this, that when you're staying in that kind of environment, when you are hearing it again and again, when I try to speak to them that it is really not good, because everything which comes out of a body is bad. Either you take excreta, you take sweat, but at least the words on which we have control, it should be good. So why not, let's use good words. So I wanted to know whether it is correct. They say that they do not mean that. It's a just kind of normal vocabulary.
Yes. Well, I agree with you. I also hope that it does not come to our mouths. But our hope should be a little more that it stays away from our heart too. Have you heard of Caesar?
Julius Caesar?
Julius Caesar. And do you know, obviously then you know that how he met his end?
I do not recollect.
It was a political...
Roman.
Yeah, he was a Roman emperor, very powerful. But then all his political, not just his political adversaries, but in fact everyone, the whole cabinet, they felt that he was becoming too proud. So forget why it became. Ultimately, what happened was that in one particular parliamentary session, they all surrounded him and stabbed him to death. Caesar never felt, he felt sad, he felt pained, he felt angry, all that. And he felt afraid, helpless. But the emotion that really struck with him was when his most trusted, loyal friend, Brutus, he put in the final and lethal stab into his liver. And this is a famous words, till now we repeat it. Et tu, Brutus? You also, Brutus? Alright? So what is the use of friends whom we think are friends, but ultimately the result is that we get stabbed. There are two options. One, we have to inculcate within ourselves and thus possible within them that which is correct. With conviction, with strength and courage. Not feeling fearful or not feeling at what can I do alone. So if we can have that strength and conviction, then we can, you know, try to bring about a change first of all by our own behavior and words, and encouraging them to do the same thing. If not, the other option is we need to find friends with whom situation is more compatible. Not that we turn our back on those whom we term as friends, but later on, when we have sufficient strength, then invite them to an atmosphere that is conducive to that which allows the heart to grow.
One quality, do you think it is we have to turn back on friends? Because that's just one quality. Otherwise, they are perfectly normal.
Yeah, that's true. If they're perfect, that's why I said there are two options. Now, your choice is whether if you stay with them and it comes to your mouth, especially back home in the family, especially with elders, when there's a function, that could be a problem, isn't it? And then you'll be forced by social circumstances to turn your back on them. Or, if you don't do that, then you have to turn your back on these people. So before the cancer really spreads everywhere, why not treat it? And the treatment is painful. Isn't it? It is, isn't it? It's growing like something, it is growth that we don't want. That is what cancer is, a growth that we don't want. And when we treat it, we lose our hair, there is vomiting, we can hardly sleep. That is what the treatment of cancer is, allopathic treatment. But if we can sustain through that, then the cancer, the carcinoma regresses. We can lead a healthy life later on.
What about
ways of sustaining?
Sustaining?
Yeah.
My friends, first you have to increase your own conviction, right? Right now our conviction is that they are definitely going to influence me. When is the conviction going to grow that I can also influence them? Am I a part or I am the 12th man in the team?
12th man.
If you are the 12th man, then we should seek a different club where we get to play sometimes. I wish you all the best and your friends too. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Atai Gaura Premananda.